Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Eat, drink, and be merry. This is what the rich farmer in today's gospel, who had just brought in a plentiful harvest, said to himself. He thought that his most significant problem was to find adequate storage for the excess of crops and other belongings that he had accumulated. For him, possession of material goods was security and comfort. Take it easy, fulfill your appetites, and be happy. After all, isn't that what life is all about? The perspective that was manifested in this man has affected each of us to one degree or another. The problem with this point of view is that it does not take into account how temporary this life is, nor does it consider the accountability that will be required of each of us by God. In the kingdom of God, the possessions that will matter will be the virtues of God. Are these in us? Do we love God above all? Do we love our neighbor as ourselves? Are we seeking the will of God in our lives? Are we serious about salvation? Are the fruits of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and are they increasing? Things like love, joy, peace, kindness, long-suffering, patience, humility, the mother of all of these, according to St. John Chrysostom. Do we love God above all else? The wealth of the kingdom of God is to be seen in these virtues and many others that help us to be conformed to the likeness of Christ, our true God. These constitute true life. Underlying all of these is a genuine desire to live a life as an offering to God that pleases and blesses Him. This is what it means to be rich toward God. St. Paul tells us in today's epistle that through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been made members of the household of God, and as such, we have the potential to grow into His holy temple. The rich man in today's gospel was totally preoccupied with his material possessions, to which he would that very night have to say goodbye when the death of his body would overtake him. The tragedy of this reality was that this man was not prepared. Isn't it ironic that this man, who had such a propensity to prepare for his future needs in this life, had not prepared at all for the demands of life in the eternal kingdom? God refers to him as a fool for having allowed his selfish preoccupation with the things of this world to prevent him from preparing for the dread judgment day. He had allowed his earthly wealth to supplant his relationship with God, which can only be fostered on the path of salvation. Instead of learning self-denial, putting to death the deeds of the flesh, taking up his cross, trusting and following our Lord, and becoming like our Lord, he was obsessed with his own comfort. He was not concerned with the will of God, but his own will. Instead of helping others with his excess, he was totally selfish. In Psalm 146, we sing, "His spirit departs, he returns to this earth. In that very day, his plans perish." Our Lord in Gethsemane gives the example par excellence of how we should order our will. You may recall, he says, "Father," he was in great suffering, great anguish, sweating drops of blood, one account tells us, with the weight of the sins of all mankind on him. And he says, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." He stated that in his human will. And the very next sentence, the very next words out of his mouth were, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Not my human will, but thy divine will be done. That's the paradigm. That's the example. That's the model right there. If we can remember that, we'll be in good shape. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow sojourners in this world and members of the household of God, let us be sober-minded and understand what our priorities must be set, where they must be set, rather. Is it wrong or necessarily sinful to make plans? Does an abundance of wealth and material possessions necessarily make it impossible to inherit the kingdom of God? To answer questions such as these, we must be honest with ourselves and ascertain how connected we are to these things. We must be careful as to where we cast our affections. If anything assumes a place of devotion in our hearts and minds that displaces God, then we need to do something about it. If we are blessed with an abundance of anything, we should offer that back to God, recognizing that all good things come from Him. We have nothing that in one way or another has not been given to us by God Himself. As we have said many times, none of us knows how long we have in this life. Each and every time a loved one leaves this life, we are reminded that we too will cross that threshold one day. So let us not neglect so great a salvation that has been made available to us by He who made us out of nothing and has left nothing undone in seeking our salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.